Now, I broke the story yesterday. I was the first YouTuber to break the story. That's a fact. That's a fact. To break the story about the port workers no longer being on strike. And I'm going to give you the insight and the information as to why. But for right now, hit a like for the algorithm, subscribe to the channel, and turn on your notifications. Let's get to it.
All right. That breaking news right now. WJZ has just learned an agreement has been reached between longshoremen and the United States Maritime Alliance. There's Tara Lynch. She's been all week long following this strike. So tell us what you know, Tara.
Well, Denise, we're here exclusively with ILA Local 333 President Scott Cowan. Scott, you just made the announcement to your folks. The strike is over.
Yes, strike's over. We got a call from our international. We're going to receive a 61.5% increase over the next 6 years, and we're going to have other language to protect us from automation worked out over the next few months and other issues that we need resolved.
You're very business with me right now. What is your emotion for you and your members?
I'm happy for them so they can get back to work and take care of their families. I mean, they've been out here for 3 days around the clock, so this is a good thing for everybody. It's a good thing for the state, the port, and all the members here and all their families.
The money question, I think, is when will this port start to see action? When will people be back on the terminal grounds unloading and loading cargo?
Tomorrow morning.
What do you think that will be like? I mean, I've seen some of the emotion from some of your members who are just off camera from us now. They are thrilled. I mean, what does this mean to them?
It means that they can provide, put food on the table, pay their bills. They don't have to worry anymore, possibly losing their cars or their homes or anything like that. You know, we're just coming back off of a major catastrophe, maritime tragedy with the bridge collapse. We were out of work for 2 months. Now we're out of work for a few more days. We're very excited to be back.
And talk to us about, you know, why these members, you spoke to us exclusively earlier, but you said they deserve this raise. Not always do they get work. Not always do they pick up hours. Why is this wage increase so important? And why is protection against automation so important to you?
Well, the protection against automation is, you know, robots don't pay taxes and they don't put food on your table. So very important to protect these jobs. And as far as, you know, the cost of everything's up. These folks work during COVID night and day, getting goods to market. It's so important for them to finally get it on the back end of all the hard work that they put in for this country during COVID.
Scott, thank you so much for your time.
So that is probably a union rep, and he's basically breaking down how the people feel and stuff like that. So he has to remain stoic, right? Because maybe he wants to go for Harold Daggett's job, but we'll go into the union boss in the next part. Let me just say this, right, before we get into the next part, that 62% increase or 61.5% increase is that's a hell of a raise. That's a hell of a raise. That's more than 13% per year for the next 6 years. That's like 13% per year or something like that, right? If my math serves me correctly. Maybe a little more than 13%, right below 14%. But that's a lot of money. And none of those guys really wanted to be out there, but none of those guys wanted to be in a position to where, and let me just say this, it's not the money that they was having an issue with, because I spoke with some of these guys that actually reached out to me and I wanted to get their understanding. And they were saying that the 55% that they was already at was cool. And this was before the strike ended, but the big thing was to save jobs. Let me show you something else really quickly, and then I'm gonna give you the real insight and information on what's going on.
Right here. Jason, thank you for sticking around, but it's very clear that if you listen to everything that Lydia just said, that it was the carriers who were called into the White House, that the members from the Longshoremen's Union didn't go. If you listen to when the head of the union was interviewed by Lydia Daggett, he was talking in glowing terms about Cabinet Secretary Sue, and how she was just working mightily with them. And it's very clear, based on the reporting, that the White House strong-armed the Maritime Alliance.
What did I say was going to happen? When I first dropped this and reported on it, before they started following the secretary and Biden and Kamala Harris and these phone calls and all of this stuff was happening, What did I say was going to happen on both the Anton Daniels channel and the Millionaire Morning Show? That the Biden administration, which also include Kamala Harris, but she couldn't necessarily be tied to it, was going to get this deal done. They was going to act like they wasn't involved. They was going to throw up a bunch of tweets and say, hey, we stand with the workers. But they was absolutely going to strong arm and get this deal done. Now, they didn't do that with the UAW. They didn't do that with the UAW. They wasn't making phone calls to go out there to FEMA and go and get that money so that they can give more than $750 to the people. They didn't do that with the workers over there at McDonald's over there in California with Gavin Newsom signing up and getting all of that. Within a day, they was making phone calls. Within 4 days and less than a week, they went on strike on Monday. By Friday, they had them boys back on them docks. By Friday, they had them boys back on the docks. They had secretaries, all kind of people was calling in and taking care of business. And you know why? You know why? Because they next was on the line and they got an election. It's an election they got to win. Under no circumstances, if we got to push Biden out of the way and get Kamala Harris in there because people didn't like the way that Biden had performed during his debate and he seemed like Sleepy Joe for real in real life. If it's these port workers, I don't care what happens. These Democrats and people keep acting like they ain't got no power. They will move hell and high water to get these deals done. No matter what they got to do, no matter what incentives they got to give, whatever has to happen, they will move hell and high water to strong arm whatever they got to strong arm to remain in place and in power. And if you're going to sit here and tell me that everything that's happened over the last 3.5 years, including this migrant crisis, including inflation, including the ability to be able, you're not going to sit here and tell me that they don't have no power to get things done, that we need bipartisan agreement. Boy, they're going to get that stuff done when they need to get stuff done because they're going to make sure that they save themselves and remain in power. And the worst thing that could have happened, almost 30 days up to the next presidential election, is for us to have these ports shut down, especially with Hurricane Helene came in and kicked everybody's butt. They already respond and have a tepid response with Hurricane Helene and all of this stuff. You got the migrant crisis, that's kicking their butt. J.D. Vance just went and wiped the floor with Tim Walz. We don't know where he at. He over there trying to figure out how many more tampons he can put in somebody's bathroom. This deal under no circumstances. Because when people start going broke and they got to go to the polls and they got to borrow money from their homegirl in order to get to the polls to continue to stroll to the poll and vote for Kamala Harris, under no circumstances, no toilet paper, no tissue, truck drivers, they was going to be calling their wives even if they were simping out and saying, listen, enough is enough. When you start touching people's pocketbooks, they going to strong arm. They going to strong arm. 100%. You know why? Because 2021-22, that's when they're going to do what they want to do. 21, 22, 23, they're going to do what they want to do. 24, Democrats are nothing but NBA players. Democrats are nothing but NBA players. Well, Anton, what does that mean? How does that translate? How does that correlate with what we're talking about right now? They get 4-year contracts. First 3 years, they're going to be injured. They're going to be eating Kit Kats. They may not show up. Contract year, we got to make an All-NBA team. We got to make an All-Star team. We're going to play more games than we've played all 3 years previously combined because we got to negotiate for a better deal. And my contract is incentive-laden. And the people going to forget about what happened the last 3 years if I can somehow get us into the playoffs. And that's what they do. They know that you forgot about how bad you was doing in 2021, 22, and 23. By the time that 23, 24 hit, they going to start ramping up. Hey, listen, we got y'all. Campaign trail, reproductive rights and issues, getting port deals done. They couldn't get nothing done in the first 3 years. They got a port deal done. They strong-armed the companies. And 3 days, 3 days, Can't even pop up to figure out what the hell is happening with FEMA. And 3 days, they got a deal done. Three days. By the fourth day, y'all better get back to work. 62%, whatever they want. 62%, hey, listen. And this is how you know it was them. Guess when they come back to the table to make sure that everything is done, complete, signed, sealed, and delivered. January 15th. When does the president take office? January 20th. When does the president take office? Hey, listen, on January 15th, we want to iron out all of the rest of the issues with regard to automation and some smaller details that we need to. But in 3 days, we're going to get this money done and promise you we'll be back to the table. Y'all better wake up. I'm trying to put you up on game. You better wake up.
Yeah, clearly that's, I think, what's happened. Look, the time to solve this this was in July or August, but there's no evidence that any of that was happening. I mean, you even have the Commerce Secretary saying that she wasn't paying much attention to it at all. I think now that it's an election eve, they started to realize, oh, whoops, we better get our butts in gear and try to do something. The bottom line is everything's going to cost more. You know, they can try to go pick on a place like Maersk. You know that Maersk.
But guess what? You ain't got to worry about it, because by the time you realize it, they're going to already hopefully be in office. Hey, remember when they was trying to sell you on the fact that Trump is basically going to create an artificial tariff on you guys to raise the cost of living by $4,000 per household? Guess what they just did? Increase the cost of living significantly. And it depends on your lifestyle. You need a car, you're going to be paying more. Need some toilet paper, paying more. Lumber, building a house, paying more. Medicine, paying more. No matter what you're doing, because we're interdependent on outside entities in order to ensure that the United States of America energy, paying more. Steel, paying more. What steel goes into, paying more. Aluminum, paying more. Everything, you paying more for. They already did it. And we not going to see the impacts of it until after the election. Your cost of living just went up and you don't even realize it.
In 2022, laid off 25,000 people. That's not a high margin business to be in the shipping business. And if you look at all the conflicts happening all over the world, which, again, I put at the foot of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. They're the ones in charge of the leader of the, you know, being the leader of the free world. You know how expensive and difficult it is to ship, and how many billions of untold dollars our United States military is having to spend to keep those shipping lanes open? That all of that gets passed on to the consumer. So, you know, Kamala Harris.
It all comes back to you. It all gets passed on to the consumer. It all gets passed on to the consumer. You gonna pay for it. You don't even realize it yet, because you're not gonna feel the effects of it until about a year from now.
Harris can dance a pretty dance about, oh, hey, this is all about, you know, we're just trying to have an opportunity economy. I don't think she knows the definition of inflation, let alone how to solve it. But this makes it worse, not better.
You know, Jason, it's interesting. We've dealt with this in Congress during a government shutdown. The one side that's like, I don't need to talk, you know, as the other side is getting political pressure and heat. It's a power of position when you can sit back and go, I don't need to go to the negotiating table. I don't have to go to the White House. We're good. I put my offer on the table. I want 77%. You guys can sit and, you know, twiddle your fingers, but unless you come back with real numbers to us that we're going to negotiate with, we're not going to talk. That was the position of the union, and the power that they thought they had, they actually had, because they got 12 more percent, at least for these 90 days, better than the 50% deal that was offered by the companies.
Well, and you need this much more money just to live in the United States of America. That didn't used to be the case under Donald Trump. You wouldn't have had such an absurdly high number. I still think the heart of the matter that is the most difficult to resolve is automation. And I have studied ports all over the world. I've been to Busan, South Korea. I have been to Shanghai. I have been to ports in the Middle East and all over this world. And I got to tell you, if the United States of America doesn't catch up on its automation, we are being left behind in the dust. And that's going to be a tough thing to solve for anybody. I guess now the deadline's in January. So it's not gone away. They have not solved that, but we do need automation in this country.
Yeah, and Dad.
This is so dumb. Said van life looking real good right now, GMA. You know why I want as much money as I make with zero debt. Do you know that I will not, and I almost refuse to ever really move into a huge, massive house? The cost of living is just too high. Energy prices is going up. I don't want to pay the property taxes. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want to pay the property taxes. Genuinely. I genuinely don't want. When I go into a place, and don't worry about it, y'all. I'm a break it down. I got entire equations that I use inside of the Patreon. For those of y'all that's a part of the Patreon, we got Block Club that's probably going to be popping off this Sunday. Thinking maybe Saturday, but probably Sunday. The first thing that I look at for something that I want to own is the property taxes. It's the first thing that I look at. Because I'm already going to be in certain neighborhoods or whatever like that. I don't want to pay the property taxes. Oh, man, get a multi-million-dollar home. Are you ready for that $80,000 property tax bill that you're going to get? 80 grand, 8,000, 8,000, 7,200, $7,000 a month, 82. You ready for that $8,000 monthly bill? You know what it costs in maintenance? Repairs, lawn care. It's like, man, I'm straight. Ain't nobody about that. I ain't doing that. I ain't dumb. Listen. I ain't just coming to money yesterday. Ain't nobody stupid. I'm not spending $1 million a year to maintain a property. You out of your mind? $250,000 a year? Get out of here. I'm regular just like everybody else. I want all of my dollars. I want all of my change with interest. Nope, never, ever. I don't want to. And you can't force me.